You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Hey everybody, as you've probably heard me plug on Remember the Game, we have a Patreon full of hundreds of extra podcasts, and the library over there has gotten so big that I figured I'd start giving away a free episode of Expansion Pass every month right here on the Remember the Game feed. If you enjoy this episode and want more, subscriptions start at just $2, and you get a new Expansion Pass ad-free every Thursday. We also have a gaming news show called Game Patch every Friday, my vlogging podcast, The Rambling Idiot, every Tuesday, and a bi-weekly Simpsons show called Purple Monkey Dishwasher, hosted by me and former Hall of Famer Mark McHugh every second Monday. This specific episode is Expansion Pass number 124, my 10 favorite games I've discovered since starting Remember the Game, and it originally aired on August 17th of 2022. Thanks for listening to the episode, and I hope you enjoy this free episode of Expansion Pass. Let's go. That's still one of my favorite songs in the history of video games. And I know, I can't remember if that's the one, but somebody was asking me about some of the music I use on games or on these podcasts. If you didn't know, that is the Runaway 5 from Earthbound. And I have another song from Earthbound I use all the time. Just look up the Earthbound soundtrack. Chances are, if there's a song you really like that I use, it's from the Earthbound soundtrack because it's so good. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the 124th edition of Remember the Game Expansion Pass. It is one of our Patreon-exclusive weekly podcasts here at Remember the Game Industries. My name is Adam Blank, and if you're hearing my voice, watching my voice, perhaps checking my voice out live on a stream, at some point you've decided to throw a couple of bucks of your hard-earned pennies at me and my dog and my girlfriend and I don't think there's anything else. I mean, there's probably a couple of spiders or something living in my house, but basically just at the three, at my family, at my bank account, you decided to support us on Patreon. And if that is the case, from the bottom of my sodium clogged heart, thank you so much. I very much appreciate it. And this week, we're doing an old school ranking episode. We haven't done one of these in a while now. And for the record, a couple people have asked me, why don't you do more ranking episodes? I'm running out of things I can rank. There's other things I want to rank. I'd love to do the Zeldas at some point. I'd love to do the Resident Evils. I'd love to do the Final Fantasies. But I haven't played all of the games yet. So I can't do them until I finish the games. And those are just some long fucking franchises to finish the games. But I am trying to do more ranking episodes. And so what I did for this week's episode is, I'm sure you know already by the title, is I went back through the archives, the Remember the Game archives. I have an Excel sheet on my computer where I keep track of all my podcast stats and information, which is crazy because I never used to do that. But at 210 episodes, I can't remember. Like, there were multiple games as I was going through the list where I was like, I don't even remember covering that fucking game. So I went back through the list and I ranked every single video game that I have played for the first time or put any serious time into or discovered due to Remember the Game. And again, we're at 210 podcasts as of this recording. And I don't know if anyone knows this. I think most of you do. I did not grow up playing every one of these video games. We run a monthly Patreon poll where I get to play a new retro game every month that people want an episode about that I've never played. People sponsor episodes, and then I try out random retro games that I've never played before. Sometimes I'll just pick a retro game that I'm interested in, and I'll try it out for the first time and play it. I get a lot of comments from people that discover the podcast that are like, this dude plays a lot of video games. And I have, admittedly, I have, but I didn't play all of these as a kid. So I've been wanting to do this type of a ranking episode for quite a long time now, but I never thought the list would be long enough to justify. Like, I was like, am I only played like 20 games for the show and I'm going to pick like my top 10 or whatever? But when I sat down to do my ranking this week, I went back through the archives, 53 games. 53 retro games that I have played for the first time for this podcast. So I had more than enough to pick from. Of those, I had to pick a top 10. And getting that list down to like my top 20, 25 was fairly easy, but trying to sort it into a top 10 was fucking hard. For the record, I am not going to reveal the entire list of 53 because maybe at some point a 10 worst retro games I've ever or that I've discovered due to the podcast is a possible episode, but I will count down what my top 10 were, explain why they're ranked where they are. I asked all of you as well, what's your favorite game that you've discovered thanks to Remember the Game? And we had about 80 replies, which was awesome. And they weren't all Slay the Spire, although a lot of them were, but there were a whole bunch of games. So I'm going to get through a few of those as well. And we'll get to all that in a couple of minutes, because as you know, part of your Patreon perk is a peek past the podcast here at Remember the Game. So if you just want to sign this NDA and leave your phone with security, I will show you what has been going on around here over the last week or so. And there's really not too much. It's just been plugging away at episodes. We're moving, as I'm recording this, I'm recording it earlier than I normally do. Ever since I started offering live recording streams for Rambling Idiot Expansion Pass and Game Patch, they've traditionally happened at 1 p.m. Mountain, and I've been talking about doing this for a while, and I moved them up. I'm recording this at noon Mountain. I'll be doing the same thing with Game Patch tomorrow. We'll see how it works. If things don't go wrong, and I can't imagine they will, and if this all works out well, this will be the new recording time for these episodes for the people that come by and watch the live streams. If you just listen to the audio afterwards or watch the videos after, it's not going to matter. You're still going to get them. Somebody asked me, when do they go live? All of my podcasts, all four of them, I usually upload at 11 p.m. the night before they go live. So like, Remember the Game goes live on Wednesdays. I upload it at 11 p.m. Mountain on Tuesday night, which is 1 a.m. Eastern Wednesday morning. That's usually when all my podcasts go live. But assuming this works, I'm going to be doing this from now on, because then that'll give me an opportunity Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday to hop on Twitch by about 2 o'clock, which is what I'm shooting for, to try to get on there 3 or 4 days a week at 2 p.m. and just have a couple hours to plug away at my backlog. Cause I am slowly teaching myself how to get more efficient with my time. And I'm never going to get caught up either way, but I'm trying my best to get more caught up. So yeah, if you're interested, twitch.tv/rememberthegame, assuming I don't have comedy obligations or, you know, like dentist appointments or anything crazy like that, I'm shooting to be on stream 2 or 3 days a week. Minimum at 2 p.m. So if you're interested in that. If you're wondering what I'm playing for the podcast right now, you guys get the sneak peek here on the Patreon exclusive shows. I'm currently playing A Bard's Tale. It's very charming. I think the gameplay is kind of meh, but the writing is fucking hilarious. So I'm playing that right now. I finished Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. I finished it. I rage quit that game 3 times, but I stuck with it and finished it. I have a lot to say about that motherfucker. So that episode is coming up in the next few weeks. I have Half-Life, the original Half-Life, installed on my computer as that won last month's Patreon poll. So I'll be diving into that in the coming days. And once I have a couple of those off my list, it's Grand Theft Auto 4, which is another sponsored episode that's coming up. And then whatever wins this month's Patreon poll, which will be going live next week, because if you didn't know, we have moved the Patreon polls from the beginning of the month to the end of the month. So anybody that signs up during the month gets an opportunity to suggest games for them and vote in them. So that should be good. Tentatively, We have episodes of Remember the Game planned for Wave Race 64, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, Metroid for the NES, Altered Beast for the Genesis, and Silent Hill 3. Those are all games in, hopefully, that will make up a majority of the next 6 or 7 weeks, as long as I can get them done. It's just finding recording times that work for both my friends and me is getting harder, especially because a lot of my friends have kids and school is right around the corner, so they're trying to get them ready for school. And my comedy schedule picks up again in September, so our scheduling can get a little bit hairy. If you're wondering why sometimes it takes me longer than other times to churn out like a Patreon poll-winning episode or a sponsored episode or whatever, sometimes it's just a matter of finding a time that works for both a friend of mine and me to sit down and record the episode. But those are all episodes that we've got in the slow cooker that we're working on right now. And like I said, I have been streaming more. My goal is to continue to stream more often on Twitch. So thank you to everyone that's been coming by. I really enjoy doing it. It's a different beast. I'm slowly learning what I can and can't stream without having stuff ruined or stuff that'll make me angry. We're averaging around 40 viewers a stream now, which is fucking wild. Like I'm really happy with that. And I'm the type of person that once I start to see a little bit of progress, I get obsessed with it. Like I was the same way with stand-up. I was the same way with this podcast. Anytime I start working on something and I start to see that snowball rolling, I just have to fucking push it down the hill and see how big that snowball can get. And I'm starting to see a little bit of traffic over on Twitch, and that gets me a little bit hot and horny. So my goal is to try to get on there. I would love to get on there 5 days a week, five times a week. I don't know what 5 days those are, but that is something I would like to do, just because it's not about the subs. Like, I know that some of you throw me subs on Twitch, which is great. I'm very appreciative. Even if a lot of you just throw me your Amazon Prime sub, I appreciate it. Never feel any kind of obligation. I don't want to be that guy who's like, you know, like fucking Dark Side Phil, like, I need more subs, guys. I'm broke and I need, like, I don't, you're welcome to just come. You never feel an obligation to give me a dime over there. If you do, I am very humbled by it and appreciative, but I don't do it for the money. I just do it because it's a way for me to work on my backlog and connect with, I feel so weird calling you my fans. I never say that. If you listen, I very rarely call you. I say we have the best listeners in the world. We have a great community. I call you the hot dogs. I feel weird saying the fans, because I know that some of you are, but I feel very weird saying that. So I'm just going to say I just like hanging out with the community, with the listeners, with the dogs. So again, twitch.tv/rememberthegame. I'm really going to make a conscious effort to try to level that motherfucker up while I can. And I think that's everything that's going on around here. I think that's pretty caught up. Oh, one last thing. I guess most of you aren't watching the video version of this, so you can't see what I'm pointing at. I finally got around to framing some posters that listeners have sent me. I have this dope Echo the Dolphin poster, and I have this rad Know Your Foe Mega Man poster that shows every Mega Man boss from the first 10 Mega Man games. And I fucking love both those posters. I just have to find somewhere to hang them. A lot of people send me stuff to hang in my office and like trinkets and stuff to put in my office. I'm very grateful. I'm not necessarily saying stop. I am just warning you, I'm running out of real estate. So just, if you send me something big, I'm running out of room in here. That's all I'm trying to say. I mean, it's not necessary. I really just ask for a postcard or a letter. Just something little. Let me know where you're listening. I'll write you back. We'll be friends. But if you're sending something big, just don't think I'm throwing shade your way if I don't put it up on the wall or anything. I just am running out of I'm running out of real estate. But I'm grateful. Thank you. Fucking best listeners in the world. Best fans. Let's fucking say it. Best fans. That feels so weird. I don't like that. Best listeners. That's better. Anyways, I've rambled far longer than I intended to for this intro. So let me shut my mouth. Well, I guess I'm not going to shut my mouth. It's a podcast. But let me stop rambling about this and ramble about something else. Let's rank some games. That's why you're here. I'm going to queue up some tunes. And for the record, the tunes that I'm queuing up right now are not from one of my top 10 games that I've played for the podcast. Because that would be a massive spoiler. But I am going to fade out, play some awesome music, and then when it stops, I'll count down the top 10 retro games I've played since I launched Remember the Game. I'm going to start saying the game that the music's from, because I know some people have been asking me, like, oh, like, what music is that? What music is that? So, like, and I can't, and like, for the record, there is no definitive list of like what music I use on every episode. I just kind of randomly pick songs that I like. But in case you're wondering, that was from Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Conquest. That game, fuck me, that game is good. I've been thinking about doing a ranking episode. Oh, excuse me. I've been thinking about doing a ranking episode of the Donkey Kong Country games. I don't want to do all the Donkey Kong games because I haven't played all of his arcade spinoffs. I haven't played the Donkey Kong versus Mario. I haven't played Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. But I've been thinking about just ranking the Donkey Kong like country style games. And Donkey Kong Country 2 is just like, man, I don't even know. Like, the original Donkey Kong Country is fire. Donkey Kong Country 2 is great. Donkey Kong Country Returns is awesome. Tropical Freeze is sick. Really, the only Donkey Kong game I've played that I don't like is Donkey Kong 64. And I'm sorry, because I know some of you love Donkey Kong 64. I fucking hate that goddamn game. But anyway, who knows? Maybe I'd replay it now, and I would actually like it. But I digress. We're just rambling about shit. Let's get into the rankings here. I should point out that this top 10 games that I've discovered since launching Remember the Game, may not totally jive with my top 100 games of all time list that I did a couple of months ago. Sue me. I'm a moody prick and my rankings change depending on my mood. I think it's pretty close. And honestly, a lot of the games in the top 20 of my top 100 list, or frankly, my top 20 games that I've discovered since launching Remember the Game, could flip-flop a little bit based on my mood. But I worked really hard on this list. I ranked these games in terms of games that I would want to play again. That was the primary, like, if I looked at it and I was like, I would definitely play through that game again. That was my primary factor, but I also weighed in things like how much fun I had when I played it, just how much I liked it. So apologies in advance if your favorite game or the game you voted for on a poll or maybe a game you sponsored didn't make the top 10. Like I said during the intro, I had 53. I have played 53 retro games, and technically 54, because I didn't count Oddworld Abe's Odyssey on this one. Although, I'm sorry, Hoagie Man, but Oddworld Abe's Odyssey would not have made my top 10. But yeah, so like that's 54 retro games that I hadn't played more than a couple minutes of as a kid prior to this podcast that I've now sat down. I finished most of them, or at least put a nice, took a nice beefy bite out of them before I shut them down and recorded them on the podcast. That's fucking crazy. And that's over 4 years. And I didn't really start playing stuff for the podcast until about a year into the show. Jesus Christ. Plus you added modern games. I need to go outside. I'm playing too many video games. So I'm going to do this as an old school countdown like I used to do with intro music for every single one and things like that. These are way more work to do the ranking episodes this way, but I like doing them better this way. I will mix a bunch of your picks in as well. We had over 80 comments, so I picked a dozen or so and squished them in. Apologies if I couldn't get it in, but thank you for sending them in. I love reading them. I love reading your comments. So never stop. Don't be discouraged if I don't pick you. There really is no method to my madness. I just slot comments in. So, like I said, I am not going to reveal my entire list of 53 games. I might do a bottom 10 games at some point. And if you're listening to this as an old episode, I'm recording this episode of Expansion Pass right after Remember the Game number 210. So anything I've played in the days, weeks, months, years after Remember the Game number 210 was not eligible for this list. Maybe we'll revisit this topic someday and I'll do a revised top 10 list or something. Now I do want to count down my honorable mentions. I wanted to count down my number 11 through 20. These are the games that just missed the cut. Depending on my mood, any of these could sneak into my top 10 because I really do, none of these games are bad. I really do like all of these games. But just quickly, without an explanation, number 21 was Gunstar Heroes, and I really wanted to put it in my top 20. I like that game too much to not at least, you know, shout out its name. Number 20 on my list was Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast. Number 19 was Spyro the Dragon for the PS1. Number 18 was Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I played it on the Super Nintendo. Number 17 was Shining Force for the Sega Genesis. Number 16 was Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for fucking everything. Number 15 was Super Castlevania 4 for the SNES. Number 14 was Gunsmoke for the NES. And I was shocked that that game ranked as high as it did. Anyone that was watching my playthroughs of that on Twitter, I fucking love that goddamn game. Number 13 was Castlevania Aria of Sorrow for the Game Boy Advance. Number 12 was Final Fantasy Tactics. Number 11, the one that just missed my top 10, was Shadow of the Colossus. Love that game. Just couldn't quite find its way ahead of my top 10. Steve Dalk wrote in and said, Gunsmoke is a fantastic little shooter I never would have discovered without this podcast. It's just challenging enough that it keeps you coming back for one more attempt. And for the record, a couple people wrote in about Gunsmoke. That warmed my heart because that's, again, I was shocked it got all the way up to 14. But like when I remember when Holmes sponsored that episode and said we should play Gunsmoke, I was like, fuck, okay, like, is anyone gonna give a fuck about this? And then I started playing it, and I was like, this game is straight fire. If I had had that game as a child, I would have been obsessed with that fucking game. It is awesome. So shout out to Gunsmoke, and I'm glad that you discovered it from that as well, Steve. So one of the coolest things about Remember the Game is discovering games that I would not have played without this podcast. Like, I played a lot of games growing up, but I can honestly say that out of the list I just rambled off, number 21 through 11, Spyro the Dragon is probably the only game that I might have gone out of my way to play at some point without Remember the Game. And most of the games I have in my top 10 on this list are the same way. I probably would not have touched them without this podcast. So while the list of games that we can review that on the podcast that I played as a kid has been slowly dwindling down, this podcast has me, this particular episode of Expansion Pass has me super excited to see what else is out there that I haven't played yet. Because easily one of the coolest things about this job is discovering retro games that I missed out on. And, like, there are some fucking gems. All 10 of these games are fucking awesome. I love all 10 of these games. They were all, like, yeah, I'm so glad that I discovered them. And we're going to get this. Let's go. I've been rambling long enough. Let's start. My number 10. Number 10 on my list of the 10 best games I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. It's Toe Jam and Earl for the Sega Genesis, which we covered on Remember the Game number 146. If you've not played it, I recommend you go back and listen to... I'm going to give you like a quick summation of what the game is about and why I like it so much, but I will tell you again what episode each of these were, so if you haven't listened to it yet and you want to hear more about it, check out the full episode of Remember the Game. So Toe Jam and Earl is number 10 on my list. This was a Sega Genesis game that we reviewed on Remember the Game number 146. It's very slow. I can't recommend this game to everybody. I can see how this game wouldn't melt everybody's butter. If you've never played it, you play as these two aliens, Toe Jam and Earl. I mean, you play as one of them. And basically your ship is crashed and you have to go through all these like randomly generated levels, and that's what I like about it, is it's a roguelike. It's like a rogue game, and I fucking love it. You go through all these randomly generated levels, and there's tons of enemies out to kill you, and you have to find all the parts of your ship that are randomly spread across random islands. You basically start at like one level, then you go in an elevator door, and then it'll take you up to the next level, then it'll take you up to the next level, up to the next level, up to the next level. But you can't see what is on that island until you, like on each level, until you start walking around and exploring it. And you really don't have any way to play defense. Your characters can't fight, attack, they can't run. They move very slow, which I could see turning some people off. This game is fucking incredibly difficult. But it's all random. And not only are where your ship parts located is, not only is that random, but there's gifts everywhere, like wrapped presents, like Christmas gifts, and some of them have good items in them, some of them have bad items in them, and you won't know what's in them every game you play until you start opening them. But then once you open one, you'll know what every box wrapped like that box has in it, unless you find an item that randomizes what's in every fucking present again. So every time you play the game, it's completely different. It's very slow. I could see it not being for everybody. I know after we reviewed it, a few people said they tried it and couldn't get into it, but I did have other people saying they got into it like hardcore. I love it. This is easily, I don't know when I'll do it. People have been asking me, are you ever going to count down your top 10 Genesis games? Yes, but there's a billion of them that I haven't played yet that I want to. I would be shocked if Toe Jam and Earl doesn't find its way into my top 10 favorite Sega Genesis games. I fucking love this game. I love roguelikes. I love the music. I love the mechanics. Again, maybe it's a little slow for some of you, but if you've got a Genesis Mini, or I'm pretty sure it's on Nintendo Switch Online on the Genesis, I recommend even just giving it a chance, particularly, again, if you're a fan of roguelikes, because it is so much fun, and it's fucking impossible. I came so close to beating that fucking game, and then I died, and it like ripped my heart out of my chest. I don't think I've gone back to it since that run. That took me almost 2 hours, where I almost beat it, but I will. Someday I'll beat that fucking game. I love Toe Jam and Earl. Number 10 on my list. Lara Croft's Tits wrote into us on Patreon and said, the two games that I discovered thanks to this podcast are Slay the Spire and Peppa Pig. That Peppa Pig comment fucking cracked me up. And if you don't know, on Game Patch, Every week I give sales recommendations for each of the big three consoles, and I jokingly recommended Peppa Pig one week, and then it kind of became a meme around here. So that made me laugh, Slay this Lara Croft. Slay the Spire, obviously the unofficial official game of Remember the Game. So many people wrote in saying they discovered Slay the Spire because of me sucking that game's dick all the time. Chris Cantrell wrote in and said, "It's your goddamn fault that I'm addicted to Slay the Spire. It's such a chill game that has so much replayability. I recommend it to everyone." Me too. If you've not yet played it, for the love of God, try Slay the Spire. That game is just fucking perfection. I love that goddamn. It warms my heart that I've turned so many of you on to Slay the Spire because it's so good. Everybody should be playing that fucking game. Back to my list. Number 9 on the list of my favorite games I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. If you don't know, that is Batman, the video game for the NES, old school. We covered it back on Remember the Game number 154. Now this is, I think it might be, I'm just quickly scrolling through the rest of my lists. I think of the 10, my top 10 games, this is the only one I had played a little bit of prior to Remember the Game, but not very much. I remember playing this at my friend's house a couple of times when I was a kid, and I just thought it was way too hard. And I've never been the world's biggest Batman fan. I'm a Spider-Man guy. I've never hidden that fact. So, like, I thought it was okay, but I didn't really play it that often. But then I got into this for Remember the Game, and if you've never played it, it is one of, I don't give a fuck what anyone says, one of the best action slash platforming games on the original NES. It looks great. It plays great. It sounds awesome. It is hard as fucking balls. I've never beaten this game. I can get pretty close, but I haven't beaten it. This is one of those ones that when I played it for the podcast, I got really into it. And then I was like, I am gonna play this until I'm good enough to beat it. And then I just kind of got busy with other things and never went back to it. I would love to get back into this game because I just think it is so much fun. As many of you know, there's exceptions to this statement because every time I say this, somebody's like, well, then why don't you play this game or this game? There are exceptions, but by and large, I really like difficult video games. Assuming they're difficult, like if it's a game I like, then I like it difficult. If it's a game I don't like, I don't give a fuck how easy or hard it is. I don't want to play it because I don't like it. But assuming I'm into your game, make it as hard as possible. And Batman is one of those games. It's tough but fair. It's not NES hard. It's just hard. You just need to practice. And with enough practice, you could beat that fucking game. And I love that game. Oh my, just hearing that music. There's a reason I use that music on so many episodes of the podcast because I just love it. And then it makes me think of that purple Batman and then fucking the dark screens. And just, oh man, if you want to hear more about that, Remember the Game number 154. Batman for the NES. That game is fucking fire. I'm gonna beat that fucking game someday. Mark my fucking words. Someday I will. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work. Gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. Crash Plan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. Crash Plan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with Crash Plan. Jake Carter wrote in and said, Cyber Shadow has become one of my favorite games of all time, and I wouldn't even have heard of it if it wasn't for you, Mr. Blank. I'm praying for a sequel. Yes, Jake, fuck yeah. Cyber Shadow is the bee's knees. That game, I don't know if it's... Apologies to PlayStation or Nintendo fans if it's on there. I don't know. I played it on Game Pass on my Xbox, but it was designed by one person, very much a Ninja Gaiden-style throwback. You guys know I love those fucking indie games that look like old retro-style games. One of only two games that I have gone out of my way to 100%. I know there's no technical term for a platinum trophy on the Xbox, but I got every achievement. One of only two games that I've gotten every achievement for on my Xbox was Cyber Shadow. That game, I fucking love. Oh, the only reason I don't still play it is because I 100%ed it. I was like, I've literally done everything. I've beat it without dying. I beat it under 3 hours. I've done everything, but Cyber Shadow is fire. I'm glad somebody else appreciates the genius of that game. And speaking of games that I've 100%ed on my Xbox, I said there's two. One is Cyber Shadow. Tennessee Bottle wrote in about the other one. Tennessee said, easy, nobody saves the world. I listened to your review on it, and the next day I downloaded it from Game Pass, and I was hooked. The way you can customize and mix and match attacks for each character is awesome. It's the right balance of difficulty that makes you want to pull your pubes out, but keep coming back for more. That must be a Tennessee phrase. Pull your pubes out. But yeah, Nobody Saves the World is fire. I did review it on Expansion Pass. I can't think of which episode it was. That is actually a front runner for my game of the year right now. I don't imagine it's going to hold on to that title by the end of 2022, but it is easily a top three game for me in 2022 so far. Only other game that I got, I rarely go after achievements or trophies. I'm like, my backlog's long. I beat a game, and then instead of New Game Plus, I usually want to move on to the next game. Nobody Saves the World fucking hooked me. I love the combat. I love the graphics. I love the music. You can hear more about it if you're interested. Just go back and find my Expansion Pass review. That game is so, so fucking good. And it's very, very hard, which I love. I love those tough games. I don't think it's impossibly tough. But that game will fuck you up, and that's what I like. Speaking of games that will fuck you up, if I'm not mistaken... I was like, is this the only game on the list I haven't beaten? But then I look back and I was like, wait, I didn't beat number 10 or number 9. So this is by far not the only game on the list that I've never beaten. But this is maybe the game that I want to beat the most on this list. Haven't, and I don't know if I ever will. Number 8 on my 10 games, my 10 favorite, I gotta figure out a smoother way to say that. Number 8 on my list of games I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. Even that music, I can feel my heart beating faster. If anyone watched my streams of that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Number 8 on my list is Super Ghouls and Ghosts for the SNES, which we reviewed on Remember the Game number 181. This game... Oh, I used to see this game pop up on so many lists of the best Super Nintendo games of all time, and I always kind of rolled my eyes and thought it looked kind of generic and just... normal and nothing special about it. And then I finally played it, and I don't know why people voted for this game in our Patreon poll. I'm honestly not sure if people voted for it because they thought it was a good game or if they voted for it because they thought it would piss me off. Both were accurate. I have come so fucking close to beating this goddamn game. You can find a full Let's Play of it on my YouTube channel, if Adam Sucks at Video Games. If you don't know, you have to beat it twice, and the second time you beat it, you have to get this stupid special wand thing. And I can get to the final level with that stupid wand, and I cannot beat the second to last. I can't do it. And I have tried for so long. I love this. And despite that, that should speak to how incredible I think this game is despite the fact that I can't... It makes me so bad. but I just love it so much. Mizuru wrote into us and said, Super Ghouls and Ghosts. I love difficult games, even if it's artificial. Although Super Ghouls and Ghosts isn't completely artificially difficult, it does have hidden chests that make the game much easier to clear. Did you know in the first level you can obtain gold armor practically 30 seconds in due to the hidden chests? I did not know that, but I did as I played it slowly learn more about the hidden chests. My only problem is I can't beat the fucking... I can get to the second... So like the final boss of the seventh level with that magic wand, with gold armor. I just can't beat him with that stupid wand. Without that wand, I could beat him no problem. I can't beat him with that fucking wand. This is certainly not a game for everybody. This game is ridiculously difficult. It'll crush your soul, but I love it. I love the graphics, the music. I like the way it plays. I think it's tough, but mostly fair. I think the way they hid that stupid fairy key bracelet thing you need to beat the game is kind of stupid, but I still love it. I adore Super Ghouls and Ghosts. And if I ever revisit my list of favorite SNES games ever, Super Ghouls and Ghosts will make like my top 20 favorite SNES games. And I always thought that I'd played most of the best games on the Super Nintendo. ActRaiser has always been the one SNES game that I felt I missed out on. But Super Ghouls and Ghosts, it turns out, was another one, because that game fucking spits fire. I love Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Number 8 on my list. Remember the game number 181 if you're interested. Number 7 on my list of my favorite games I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. Is Final Fantasy V Advance for the Game Boy Advance. We covered this thing back on Remember the Game number 149. Now, here's the thing. When I was working through my list of games that I've discovered since I started the show, I realized that there's like 3.5 Final Fantasy games on it. There's the original Final Fantasy for the NES. There's Final Fantasy V Advance. There's Final Fantasy VIII. And then technically there's Final Fantasy X. I did play X as a kid when it came out, but I never finished it. So I went, so like 3.5, because I could have reviewed it without going back to it, but I replayed it for this podcast. Final Fantasy I was fine. Final Fantasy VIII, I like a lot more than most people like Final Fantasy VIII, but neither one even sniffed on the doorstep of my top 10. Neither did Final Fantasy X. But Final Fantasy V Advance is just fucking... Oh, I guess Final Fantasy Tactics too, but whatever. Final Fantasy V Advance is so fucking good. So I've always said my top 3 Final Fantasy games are 9, 4, and 6. Maybe not in that order, but those are my top 3. Final Fantasy V is in that conversation. I'd have to really think about where I would slot it in. It's got those SNES-style 16-bit pixel art graphics that I just have the massivest of fetishes for, but it also has this awesome job... The story's almost non-existent. Like, there's a story, but the story fucking sucks. The job system in that game makes the fucking game. It is so cool. You can take your 4 party members, assign them different jobs, and then they can learn different abilities from those different jobs, and then when you take that job off of them, they can still use some of the abilities that they learn. Anyone that's played an RPG with jobs systems in it, you know what I'm talking about. And the fact that your party is exactly 4 members, that was the secret sauce for me, because I get overwhelmed by games like Suikoden and even Final Fantasy VI. That's my biggest qualm with Final Fantasy VI/3, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a great game, but I hate that you have so many party members, because I know I can't manage everybody in the party. I like that it's just 4 people, and they're always the 4 in my party, and I never have to fuck around, and it's just so much easier, like roster management. That's what I'm talking about. And I went into that game kind of like semi-rolling my eyes and being like, all right, well, whatever, it's the job, I'll play it. And by the time I was done, I was like, no, that game fucking slaps. I had a blast with Final Fantasy V Advance. I think I'll play it again someday. I don't know when, but I could see myself playing it again someday. So I don't know how readily available Final Fantasy V is to all of you these days, but if you have a chance to play it and you like RPGs, from the bottom of my heart, I recommend Final Fantasy V. That game fucking kicks so much. Oh, kicks so much ass. The job system is so fucking good in that game. Dan S. wrote in about a Final Fantasy game that he discovered due to the podcast, and it's Final Fantasy VII. I never gave it a fair shake back in the day, but after listening to your revisited Final Fantasy VII podcast, I decided it sounded like something I'd like to try again. I was not disappointed. Thanks for making me finally take the plunge. I was actually surprised that Final Fantasy VII popped up. I know not everybody listening to this has played Final Fantasy VII, but I kind of just figured everybody that wanted to play Final Fantasy VII had played it by now. But apparently, there was at least one out there that hadn't, and I convinced them to take the plunge, and that was Dan S. I'm glad you... Listen, we've done two podcasts about Final Fantasy VII. I don't know what I can say about it that I haven't already said. I think it's really good. I do think... I don't know if I'd even call it overrated per se. I just don't like it as much as some of the other ones. It's probably the most important Final Fantasy. I'll give it that. But it's still good. It's still like, it would probably be in my top five. It would probably be Final Fantasy 4, 5, 6, 9, and 7. In some order of those games would probably be my top five Final Fantasies. So I'm glad that you finally discovered it, Dan. I'm glad you liked it. And if now that you've played it, you should play Final Fantasy 7 Remake. Because it's fucking, Final Fantasy VII Remake is so fucking good. Anyways, we're not talking about that. We're talking about old games that I discovered since the show. We're going to keep it moving. Let's get to number 6 on my list of 10 retro games I discovered since launching Remember the Game. Music doesn't get you fired up. I don't know what will. I know it's kind of lame music. It's Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance, which we reviewed back on Remember the Game number 138. Dude, I can't believe that's almost 2 years ago now. That's fucking crazy. That's two GBA games back to back. I get asked a lot, why don't we cover more GBA games? And I've said it before, I didn't play a lot of GBA in my day. I think, I could probably count on one hand the number of Game Boy Advance games I actually played during the Game Boy Advance's heyday. But I am slowly going back and discovering some beauties for it now. And Final Fantasy VII Advance was one of them. Castlevania Aria of Sorrow, which just barely missed out my cut. That was another one of them. And Metroid Fusion is the best of the Game Boy Advance games that I've played. I fucking love that game. 2D Metroid is fire. The only 3D Metroid game I played is Metroid Prime, and I've never finished it. So I shouldn't sit here and say that I think 2D Metroid is definitively better than 3D Metroid. But I'd be shocked. I like just about every... I like fucking Mario better in 2D, Donkey Kong better in 2D, Zelda better in 2D. I can't imagine a world where I don't like Metroid better in 2D, but the proof will be in the pudding that I'm apparently supposed to eat once I finally get around to playing Metroid Prime. But Metroid Fusion is fucking sick. That game is so much fun. There's like a Venom Metroid, or pardon me, Samus, like chasing you around the whole time, which is fucking crazy. I guess the one complaint you could have about Metroid Fusion is that it's a little bit linear compared to some other Metroid games, but it didn't bother me at all. And for a game that fucking released on the GBA that was handheld, obviously pre-Nintendo Switch and Metroid Dread, Metroid Fusion is fucking incredible. I have so many great things to say about this game. Again, Remember the Game number 138 if you want to hear all of them. That game fucking slaps. That was maybe one of my biggest surprises, not for my rankings. I just didn't expect to like it as much as I did when I played it, but fucking blew my mind. It was so much fun. Makes me want to play more Metroid games. So number 6, Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance. Where were we here? Chugbaka? Did I say that right? Chugbaka wrote in and said, the best game I've played because of your recommendations on Remember the Game is Hollow Knight. I got it for free way back on PS Plus, and hearing you talk about it, maybe download it and give it a go. I'm still fairly new to the Metroidvania genre, as the only other game I've played in this era is Metroid Dread. But man, the layers to this game. The combat, bosses, music, and scenery feel like a love letter from Team Cherry. You can tell they really put a lot of time and care into this game. I can't wait for Silk Song, and I thank you for the recommendation. I'm so happy that people wrote in saying that I turned them on to Hollow Knight. There's another one. Bookerman 102 said two games immediately come to mind: Bone Storm and Lee Carvello's Putting Challenge. Nice pull. But the other two games that come to mind are Hollow Knight and Slay the Spire. Neither game I'd ever heard of prior to listening to Remember the Game, and both are now games I put dozens of hours into. Two amazing games. Thanks for hyping them up. Hollow Knight was my game of the year years ago. It is one of the best Metroidvanias I've ever played. It's gorgeous. It's tough, but fair. I fucking love that fucking video game. Now, some of you have asked me, why haven't you reviewed Hollow Knight on Expansion Pass? I played it before I'd ever launched Expansion Pass, and I played through it once, and it was great. I don't think I could do it justice in a full review without replaying it, and that's a long, pretty tough video game. So never say never about an Expansion Pass review of Hollow Knight. But it's not anything that's in my immediate cards, just because I don't really have time to replay it. I guess if you want a very short review, I'd give Hollow Knight like a 9, 9.5 out of 10. It is, I can't recommend it across the board because I think it'd be too tough and too frustrating for some people and you might get lost. But if you're into those types of games, fuck, Hollow Knight's one of the best Metroidvanias I've ever played. It is so, so fucking good. I love that game. So there's your Hollow Knight review. 9.5 out of 10. That game fucking slaps. And it's on everything. So highly, 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 highly recommend you give it a chance. And I'm glad that was another one. After Slay the Spire, I would say Hollow Knight is probably the game I got the most write-ins about, saying that I turned people on to it. So that makes me happy. That warms my heart. That's good stuff. Back to my list. We are into the top five. All five of these games are out fucking standing. And let's get her going here. The number five, I still haven't figured out how I'm going to say this smoothly. My fifth favorite game that I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. Do you know what game that is? Can you play it? I'm sure some of you can place it. Some of you are probably like, what the fuck is that? What game is that? What game is it? It's for the Nintendo 64. It's a racing game. It stars a monkey and a clock with a face. I fucking hate that clock. It's Diddy Kong Racing for the Nintendo 64, which we covered on Remember the Game number 171. I've never hidden the fact that I don't love racing games, but I do love kart racers. I don't like simulation-y racing games that much. Although Need for Speed Most Wanted ended up slotting in around my mid-20s, I think, on this list. Need for Speed Most Wanted was a lot of fun. But I don't know if you'd call that a simulation-y game. More like, it's not like a Gran Turismo or anything. But I've never been into like car racers. I've always loved kart racers. But the only kart racers I've ever played really are the Mario Kart ones. I think I played this like crappy Animal Kart Racer when I was a kid on my computer. It fucking sucked. I've never played the original Crash Team Racing, although it is on my list of games that I want to get around to. Maybe that would make a good Remember the Game. The top 10 retro games I want to get to. Oh, I might keep that in my back pocket. That could be a fun episode. Crash Team Racing would be on that list. I really want to play it. I have played the remake or the modernized one that Nitro Fueled. Fucking loved it. Much more strategic than Mario Kart. And then I played Diddy Kong Racing after I won our Patreon poll. And despite my not loving the Nintendo 64, I love this fucking game. It played great. It looked great. It sounded great. Challenging. I never played the multiplayer modes because I played it here by myself on my Nintendo 64 because I don't have any friends or only one controller and only one controller. But I was impressed. I was like, a lot of people say that Diddy Kong Racing stands up to or maybe even is better than Mario Kart 64. And I would have called that a blasphemous take until I actually played Diddy Kong Racing. And now, I think I still slightly prefer Mario Kart 64, but I would never slap somebody for saying it. I'm like, that's a totally reasonable take. It's definitely on the same level as Mario Kart 64. The only real beef I got with Diddy Kong Racing is that I think most of the characters in our Diddy Kong fucking suck. Whereas I think Mario Kart obviously has, you know, all the staple characters that we know and love. I don't want to fucking race as a stupid alligator with headphones. But still, yeah, Diddy Kong Racing fucking slaps. It's so much fun. I love that you can use three different vehicles. You can hear all about it on Remember the Game number 171 if you're interested. Highly recommend that game. So, so fucking good. When all of you were saying it was as good or better than Mario Kart, I was like, you're all fucking crazy and you're going to hate me when I rip all over this game. But then I played it and I was like, no, that is about as good as Mario Kart. Fair enough. I will shut my mouth. You all know what you're talking about. So number five on my list from episode 171, Diddy Kong Racing. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, It's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. Mike Snelling wrote into us and said, I started playing MLB The Show 22 because of how you raved about it. I'm not normally a baseball video game person, but the game itself is beautiful. I only play Road to the Show as a pitcher because I'm really bad at hitting. It's complicated enough to keep me interested, and it still feels good to get a strikeout on a fading slider outside of the zone. I'm already playing through my third season in the major leagues, and I've won the World Series once. Well, first of all, congratulations on winning the World Series. And second of all, congratulations on discovering MLB The Show, because I've said it countless times, and I will continue to say it, despite the fact that I don't play all the modern sports games, MLB The Show is the best modern sports game in existence. And I'll die on that hill. I just think people shit all over Madden. People have started to turn on NBA 2K, NHL. Some people always complain about it. MLB The Show is MLB The Show. It is. I will say, I do think baseball as a sport translates better into a realistic video game than anything with collision like football and hockey. I've never played a basketball. I don't play anything for basketball, so I can't speak to how well basketball translates into a video game. But baseball translates into video games so perfectly, and Road to the Show is just cash money. That's the only mode I play as well. A lot of you have asked me if I'll play MLB The Show with you. Sorry, but I don't really play it a lot anymore because I've kicked my addiction to it. And when I do play MLB The Show, I just like Road to the Show so I can rip through a season as quickly as possible. But Mike. Congratulations on your World Series victory and welcome to the world of MLB The Show. So, so fucking good. Speaking of so fucking good, my number four game on my list of the top 10 titles I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. Oh, motherfucking Streets of Rage 2 for the Sega Genesis, which we covered back on Remember the Game number 151. If that music seemed a little quieter than the other ones, for some reason that music is like super loud, so I had to turn it down for the recording, and then it might have seemed a little bit quieter. So if it was, it's on me because I suck at this, but also it's on the game because the music was really loud. This game, so I wasn't super interested in playing Streets of Rage 2 until I played Streets of Rage 4. And once I played, because like beat-em-ups are fine, but beat-em-ups, in my opinion, have always been kind of a dime a dozen. Like, it's, you know, the Turtles ones are fun. River City Ransom was cool. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is very good. But like, it's a lot of just mashing buttons, right? We all know what beat-em-ups are. When I played Streets of Rage 4, not only the graphics, the art style, the soundtrack, everything, I was obsessed with how well it played and the strategy that went into a classic beat-em-up game. There's so many layers to, like, depth to it, and the different like approaches you need to take to fighting different enemies and throwing enemies into each other, and what a big advantage that is. And like, these games are super tough but super, super fucking fun to play. And once I got obsessed with Streets of Rage 4, I was like, well, now I gotta see where the fuck this started. So I got around to playing Streets of Rage 2, and that's, I haven't beaten that one yet either. But it is, the Streets of Rage games are the best beat-em-ups I've ever played. I think Streets of Rage 4 is the best single beat-em-up I've ever played. It's not really fair to compare it to Streets of Rage 2 because they're, you know, like 25 years apart and on different hardware. But I played Streets of Rage 2 on my Genesis Classic, and I was like, this is almost as good as Streets of Rage 4, but it's way older. It is so good. It is definitively at this point my favorite Sega Genesis game, and it's not even close. I like Gunstar Heroes, I like Toe Jam and Earl. They cannot touch Streets of Rage 2. I fucking love this goddamn game. If they made Streets of Rage annualized, I would be all over that. Like, oh my god, I fucking love these games. Streets of Rage 2 is the best retro beat-em-up I've ever played, and it is still, despite being as old as it is, one of the best beat-em-up games I've ever played, period. So much fun. Music's great. Graphics are great. Control's great. Difficulty, so fucking good. You can hear me suck that game's dick for a solid hour on Remember the Game episode 151, if you're interested. Streets of Rage 2, so fucking good. Sharonic wrote into us on Patreon and said, I didn't necessarily discover this game because of your podcast, but I picked up Tetris 99 to start participating in Tetris Tuesdays, which if you don't know is something I do over on Twitch. Not every week. I was for a while. Now I just do it when the mood strikes me. But yes, I know for a fact that I've gotten some people in this community hooked on Tetris 99. Yeah, buddy. Like Super Mario 35 died, as it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. But Tetris 99 is alive and well because so many people understand that it's probably the greatest version of Tetris ever fucking released. I love that goddamn game. And Lord Finish wrote in and said Shovel Knight. Hands down. What a treat. A couple of you wrote in about Shovel Knight. That warms my heart. I believe there's an old school episode of the Top Secret pod, like a Top Secret episode. If you don't know, that's what I used to call Expansion Pass before I actually did a weekly episode of Expansion Pass. I would do a monthly show called the Top Secret episode. Where I would review a modern game, and I'm 90% sure we have an episode about Shovel Knight. One of the best video games I've ever played. Four incredible retro indie style platformers. They draw inspiration from Mega Man, Mario 3, Duck Hunt, or pardon me, DuckTales, Zelda 2. Fucking so good. So fucking good. I like 10 out of 10 Shovel Knight. Those games are fire. So fuck yeah, Lord Finish. You're welcome. And I'm glad you enjoyed Shovel Knight. The game fucking slaps. All those games fucking slap. Written to my top three. And admittedly, I would say Streets of Rage 2 was the cutoff. I really, really, really wanted to put Streets of Rage 2 into my top three. But there's just three games that I think I liked a little bit more. So I'm going to go to them now, as you could probably guess. We're at number three. My bronze. The bronze medal for the top 10 games I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. The problem with games like Metroid and horror games is that the music isn't really that fire you up. So I know it's kind of a like, wah, wah. It's Resident Evil 2 for the original PlayStation, which we covered back way back on Remember the Game number 111. I had never played Resident Evil 2 as a kid. I played a little bit of Resident Evil, a little bit, but Resident Evil 4 was my introduction to that series. And then I played 5, and then I tried to play 6, and it fucking sucked. And then I slowly started catching up on the franchise, and I can't believe that I've become a full-blown Resident Evil fan, but I have. That's another franchise. I really want to do a ranking episode of Resident Evil. I just need to play... I technically could rank Resident Evil 1 through 8 right now, but I want to play Resident Evil 1 Remake. I'd like to play Resident Evil 0. I have a couple more titles I want to cross off my list before I do a definitive ranking of the Resident Evil games. Resident Evil 2 Remake isn't just one of the best games that I've played since launching this podcast. If you listen to my top 100 games of all time, Resident Evil 2 Remake is just one of my favorite video games of all time. It is borderline perfect. But the original Resident Evil 2 on the PS1, in my opinion, is still by far the best of the original Resident Evil trilogy. If I had to rank, I think the only Resident Evil games that I've played right now that I would put ahead of it are the remake, Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 7, and maybe Resident Evil 8, like Village. But like the original Resident Evil 2 is very, very, very fucking good. I see why everybody loves it so much now. I see why it's one of the highest rated. Fucking game is awesome. It's just, yeah, I mean, if you've never played it, I'd probably recommend... Well, I recommend playing both. It's almost like Final Fantasy VII to Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, that's almost how big of a jump. It is about the same jump. Resident Evil 2 on the PS1 has the tank controls and the stuck camera and the blocky-looking people. Resident Evil 2 Remake just plays like a phenomenal third-person shooting video game. They're both excellent. I'd probably recommend trying the original before you play the remake just so you can see how much it's been improved. Both of them are worth your time. Resident Evil 2, I really did flip-flop on whether I wanted to put Streets of Rage 2 or Resident Evil 2 in the fourth and third spot. And I mean, you know what? Like, I'm already like, should I put Streets of Rage 2 ahead of it? Like, they're basically tied. I just, you know, that's lame. I had to rank one ahead of the other, so I'm going Resident Evil 2. But Resident Evil, yeah, they're both great. Resident Evil 2 is so good. Again, I remember the game number 111, if you're interested. Slick Rick wrote into us and said, Dead Cells. Outstanding recommendation on your part, Blank. I've poured over 100 hours into this little gem. I went from never really trying a roguelike to beating this game on the hardest difficulty, possibly one of my favorite games of all time. Yeah, Dead Cells is fire. If you've not played it, roguelike hack and slash game. Gorgeous. The combat is silky smooth. I've never beaten it. I just I was really into it for a while, and then I had to move on to another game and never went back. But Dead Cells is fire. And you know what? And Slick Rick is the one that actually was kind enough to gift me a copy of Resident Evil 2 Remake. And that's one of my favorite games ever. So we're even, Rick. We're fucking even, except I didn't buy your copy of Dead Cells. But we're even. So thanks very much, buddy. And glad you liked it. So now we're into the top two. And I'm just asking right now, do you think you could guess them? Do you think you can name them? I think most people could name one. But I don't know if you can name the other one. So I'm not going to give you any time. If you want to try to guess, you can pause the podcast. I'm just going to keep the show moving. My second favorite game that I've discovered since launching Remember the Game. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic for the original Xbox, which was covered on Remember the Game episode 98. This is a long fucking time ago. If you told me 4 years ago that Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic would be one of my favorite games ever, I would have laughed in your face because I don't love RPGs. At that point, I didn't love Star Wars, and I didn't really have any interest in going back and playing a fucking RPG about Star Wars. But I won our Patreon poll. I fired it up. And listen, some of you have messaged me and been like, I've tried it since you started blowing it up so much and I just can't get that into it. I get that. I get it. It is not aged super glamorously. The combat is a little bit archaic. The graphics are ugly. It's really slow to get started. But once it gets rolling, I just became completely enthralled. That's to this day. And before you like start sending me messages, I know of other ones that I need to play. But as of right now, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is the only Star Wars game I've played. And it almost drives me crazy that a fucking RPG got this high on this list, but I loved KOTOR that much. And I will say a big part of the reason I loved KOTOR was because of HK-47, who is by far probably my favorite party member in any RPG ever. It's either him or Cid from Final Fantasy VII. I fucking love HK-47. And so, like, ah, oh, fuck. Meatbags. Oh my god, I love that goddamn robot so much. I played it evil, I played on the dark side, and I just had a great fucking time. I love Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And I really do want to play the second one. It's more just a time issue, I guess, than anything. If I ever do an episode, we really should do that. Maybe I'll do that next month. I'll count down 10 retro games I really do want to play at some point. KOTOR 2 probably would get on that list. It'd definitely be knocking on the door of that list just because I want to see. People say it's not as good as the first one, which I would probably believe as well. But that said, like, the first one is like one of my favorite RPGs ever. I fucking love one of my favorite Xbox games ever. I fucking love this goddamn game. And if you've never played it and you're interested, you can get it on Xbox Marketplace for dirt cheap. It is on the Nintendo Switch. I don't know if it's on PlayStation. I played it on Xbox and I know it just got released on Switch, so maybe it's on PlayStation as well. Just know that it's not your classic JRPG. It's kind of slow, maybe not for everybody, but I had a blast with it. I fucking love Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And you can hear more about that if you're interested on Remember the Game episode 98, which is over 2 years old now. Fuck me. Fuck, we're getting old. And that leaves one. I'm going to read one more comment from our community before I tell you what my number one game I've discovered since launching Remember the Game is. So that'll buy you a minute to think about it. I'm curious if anybody can guess what it is. Bryce Larson wrote into us and said, "Dear Mr. Blank, thank you so, so, so much for turning me on to Tetris Effect. I've been a lifelong audiophile, and this may be some of the best audio design I have ever heard. I had tears in my eyes on that second-to-last level on Journey Mode. Also, fuck you very, very much for turning me on to Into the Breach, as it has sent me running back to Tetris Effect for its warm embrace about a couple 12 or 1300 times. Both those games are fire." I've said it many times. Yeah, Tetris Effect is there with Tetris 99 as the two best versions of Tetris ever released. Tetris Effect is gorgeous. Best soundtrack ever. I've said it before. If you smoke pot or like pot or edibles, I mean, you can enjoy it without it, but you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't get nice and baked at least one time, turn off all the lights at night, put on some headphones, and just space out with Tetris Effect. It is almost a magical fucking experience. I love that game. So I'm glad you're enjoying it, Bryce. And fuck yeah, Into the Breach is just fire. We just reviewed that one on Remember the Expansion Pass a couple weeks ago, if you're interested in hearing more about that. So fuck yeah. All right. And again, thank you to everybody that wrote in. I can only read so many comments. We get tons. It was really fun reading them this week because a lot of you have introduced me to games that I've fallen in love with, including all the 10 games on this list. So I'm glad that I was able to repay the favor and introduce some of you to new games that you could fall in love with as well. But let's wrap this thing up. I've bought you enough time to think about it. I don't know if anyone would have guessed. I think some of you would have guessed KOTOR. I don't know if anybody would have guessed what this number one was. I was a little shocked by it as well, but like, I just really, really, really like this fucking game. The number one game, my favorite game that I have discovered since launching Remember the Game. Even the music just puts me in a good mood. I'm assuming most of you know. If you don't know, it's Banjo-Kazooie from the Nintendo 64, and it is available on Xbox on Rare Replay, which is actually where I played it. But it's Banjo-Kazooie originally released for the Nintendo 64. Mark McHugh and I covered this bad boy all the way back on on Remember the Game episode 81. This game shocked me because, as many of you know, I did not love Mario 64. We called the truce when I got to play with a real controller, but I didn't love Mario 64 back then. I don't love 3D platformers by and large, particularly old 3D platformers. And admittedly, had I played Banjo-Kazooie on the Nintendo 64 back in the day with that Nintendo 64 controller and everything, I don't know if it would have managed to get onto my... It certainly would have finished number one. I don't know if it would have made it onto the top 10. But I played the Xbox version on Rare Replay with a real controller in my hand, and I fucking loved this game. I loved the art style. I liked the way it controlled. I liked the characters. I liked the music. I liked the collectibles. This game is just charming as fuck. I like that stupid witch that's like the final boss. I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's very, very, very good. I think it's infinitely better than Mario 64. And I think that's, listen, I don't want that. That can't be understated because you all know what a giant Mario homer I am. I think this is better than it. I think Banjo-Kazooie stands up against some of the best Mario games I've ever played. It is so good. I really want to play Banjo-Tooie, but I'm also terrified to play Banjo-Tooie and then not love it. But yeah, Banjo-Kazooie fucking slaps. I'm 90% sure it's on Nintendo Switch Online if you have the expansion pack. It's also available again on Xbox with Rare Replay, or you could go out and get a physical copy of it for the Nintendo 64. If you like old school 3D platformers, so much fun. So much fun. I'm just repeating myself. It's just a really fun video game. Very challenging, but in a fair way. Fucks you around occasionally, but despite the couple of things about it that pissed me off, I just completely became enthralled with this game. And when I was sitting down doing my rankings, I was working my way from Remember the Game episode 1 to Remember the Game episode 210. And anytime it was a new game that I played for the podcast, I went over to my Excel sheet and just slotted it in. That's how I do all my rankings, is I just go over to my list and I'm like, all right, where would I put this one? And Banjo-Kazooie got slotted in at number 1 back at episode 81. And I kept expecting something to knock it out of that top spot, and nothing did. It was just... Oh, I love Banjo-Kazooie. So much fun. So, again, just to recap, my 10 favorite games that I've discovered since launching Remember the Game, in order from 1st through 10th, Banjo-Kazooie, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Resident Evil 2, Streets of Rage 2, Diddy Kong Racing, Metroid Fusion, Final Fantasy V Advance, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Batman the Video Game, and Toe Jam and Earl. 10 outstanding games, and I want to thank all of you for making me play them, because I probably wouldn't have played any of these without y'all kicking me in the ass. That's going to do it for this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. It's been a while since we did one of these fun ranking episodes. That was good. We'll be back next week with Expansion Pass number 125. I have no idea what it'll be about yet. That'll be up to all of you at the junior executive vice president level or higher. And we'll get that poll started. I'll probably start taking suggestions by the weekend. I might even have, you know what? The suggestion thread will probably be up by the time this podcast goes live. So we'll find out what you guys want me to talk about next week then. But in the meantime and in between time, thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. I'll talk to you on the next episode. Cheers. Goodbye. So long. Banjo-Kazooie, man. Go play it. It's awesome. Thanks again for listening. You can see a full list of every episode of Expansion Pass in the archives at RememberTheGamePodcast.com. We offer annual subscriptions that'll save you some money. 5% of our Patreon support is donated to Extra Life for the Stollery Children's Hospital here in Edmonton at the end of every year. It's about the best deal in the history of the universe. Hundreds of extra podcasts, access to our Discord, the ability to write into the show and play one, remake one, erase one, and so much more. Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. Thank you. Cheers. So long, whatever.